Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We're proposing a boost in investment in the nation's infrastructure beyond what was included in the Recovery Act to continue modernizing our transportation and communications networks. These are needed public works that engage private sector companies, spurring hiring all across the country.
And that, of course, was from President Obama's job creation speech yesterday at the Brookings Institution, which we carried live here on the show. His plan focuses on three broad areas, one of which we want to take a closer look at right now. The three are small business, infrastructure, and clean energy. And let's delve into the infrastructure piece a little bit. We have with us two experts, Michael Lind, Policy Director for the Economic Growth Program at the New America Foundation, and Petra Todorovic, Director of America 2050, and with, you know, Regional Plan Association, right?
That's right.
That's a program within the Regional Plan
Association. It's our National Urban Planning Initiative at Regional Plan Association.
Okay, and the Regional Plan Association, for those of you who don't know, is a think tank that looks at development in general in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. And infrastructure growth was part of the original stimulus plan. It was part of the language of the Obama campaign, saying he was going to run to have this big stimulus to green America and to rebuild America. But there have been many criticisms that it didn't meet its mark in that respect. And so President Obama, in the speech yesterday, indicated this might be a chance to renew those efforts.
I recognize that by their nature, these projects often take time and will therefore create jobs over time. But the need for jobs will also last beyond next year, and the benefits of these investments will last years beyond that. So adding to this initiative to rebuild America's infrastructure is the right thing to do.
And Michael Lind, why did the original stimulus bill, the Recovery Act, fall short of what many people expected with respect to infrastructure?
Well, for two reasons. First of all, far too much of it went to tax cuts in an effort to get Republicans on board. About a third of it went to infrastructure spending. And in addition, infrastructure spending, by its nature, it takes time to ramp up in spite of all the talk about shovel-ready projects. So it's coming online now. We'll probably see more benefits in the next couple of years. But let me say there was one aspect of the original stimulus that has proven very successful. It included a provision for something called tax credit bonds, which allows the federal government indirectly to subsidize state and local governments. So that was an additional $50 billion, which is not counted as part of federal spending because it's a tax expenditure. But that turned out to be a very wise and productive move.
Petra, let's get as local as we can and as specific as we can about what the original stimulus bill has meant. Have these shovel-ready projects in the New York area, and it seems to me like we spent weeks back in January listing all kinds of shovel-ready projects that people here were hoping that the federal government would throw money at under the stimulus plan, and then which were listed in some tentative or official way. And so what has happened with respect to the local infrastructure, and what kinds of projects do you think might now be funded with this new bill from the president if it gets through?
Certainly. Well, of course, any federal money coming to New York State is going to help our local transportation projects. And we actually, because in the New York region we have so much transit, we are one of the states that received more funding for transit than for highways. So we received about $1.2 billion for transit and a little less than that for highways in New York State. So it certainly helped the MTA at a time when the MTA is facing serious budget cuts.
And I think I recall that the MTA announced early in the year that it was going to use the lion's share of that money for one station, the Fulton Street renovation at the big subway station there down in Lower Manhattan, correct?
That's right. And that's an important project which is now moving forward because of the help from this federal program.
And so what might happen right now? We just heard about the big revenue shortfall that the MTA was shocked to discover just the other day because the new payroll tax instituted by the state legislature, after all that debate about bailing out the MTA and saving the current fare, and not having drastic service cuts, that payroll tax didn't produce nearly as much money as was hoped for. So would stimulus money be used to close that gap or no, because it would have to be built, have to be used to build new infrastructure?
It's unclear right now. It depends on whether the federal bill includes money for transit agencies to for their operating expenses. Usually federal money for transit agencies goes toward the capital projects. So if this new jobs bill includes a provision that that transit agencies in general could use the money for operating, then it could help that $343 million budget deficit that the MTA announced this week.
I'm looking at a poll question on a website called infrastructureusa.org. And I want to throw it out to our listeners as we discuss where new Obama infrastructure money should be spent. This is an interesting question framed by infrastructureusa.org. And it says, should infrastructure projects that generate a greater number of jobs be favored for funding, even though they might not be the most urgent or produce the greatest long-term impact? So where would you like to see the new Obama infrastructure money go, listeners? Again, assuming this gets through Congress, should it be whatever produces the greatest number of jobs, sort of the shovel-ready standard, or should it be to things that may produce fewer jobs but have more impact on the infrastructure, be that roads and bridges, public transit, schools, water infrastructure, whatever else? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And here's another clip of President Obama from yesterday talking about infrastructure and the slowness of implementation under the Recovery Act.
It was planned this way for two reasons. So the impact would be felt over a two-year period, and more importantly, because we wanted to do this right. The potential for abuse in a program of this magnitude while operating at such a fast pace was enormous. So I asked Vice President Biden and others to make sure, to the extent humanly possible, that the investments were sound, the projects worthy, and the execution efficient. What this means is that we're going to see even more work and workers on recovery projects in the next 6 months than we saw in the last 6 months.
Michael Lynn from the New America Foundation.
No, I'm one of the guests. You need to connect me back to Brian Lehrer.
Michael, you're on.
Yeah, okay.
Michael, you're on. Can you hear me?
All right. Yes.
Michael, you're on. So do you want to react to that clip of the president? Were you able to hear it?
Yes. Sorry about that. Look, there are two ways to generate a lot of jobs that are more effective than any others. One is aid to state and local governments. The other is infrastructure spending. Now, infrastructure investment creates lots of jobs, including subsidiary jobs in the private sector, but at a slower pace. So you don't want to oversell infrastructure. What you need is a coordinated program where you do the long-term economic activity through infrastructure spending, including a lot of jobs. But it needs to be coupled in the short term with more immediate job-creating programs. And the best way to do that is to bail out the state governments and cities and counties, which are facing massive revenue shortfalls.
Do you agree with that at the Regional Plan Association? Because there is this tension, Petra, between the greening of the region, which was another goal of the original stimulus rhetoric, and the building of the infrastructure, which everybody would like to see, and the saving of teachers' jobs, the savings of police officers' jobs, people who would otherwise get laid off because of local government shortfalls, with implications, obviously, for education and public safety.
Well, one thing we've learned, Brian, is that infrastructure spending is actually one of the most effective ways to spend the stimulus dollars. A Congressional Budget Office report released this month showed that infrastructure spending had some of the highest bang for the buck in terms of job multiplier effects than any of the money spent in the stimulus. So we need to strike a balance between the ready-to-go projects, which normally are the fix-it-first types projects, the road repair, the bridge repair, the transit stations that need rehabilitation that are sitting on the books, and those agencies need the money to do those. And then the longer-term projects that really speak to the need to provide capacity for growth in the economy over the long term, the high-speed rail projects. There's a program called TIGER, which is a competitive grant program for capital projects that states are competing for right now. That's a $1.5 billion program, and there's $58 billion in requests for that program. They could expand that in this next jobs bill and put a lot of money to work right away.
Stephen from Manhattan writing on our webpage, just fill the potholes and the beveled street corners. In 1 week, I saw an elderly man fall and a baby nearly thrown out of her stroller. Getting money where it's really needed, free of political decisions, is not rocket science. Come to think of it, give NASA more funding. That is rocket science. Okay, thank you. Ed in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Hi. The reason I'm calling is because I want to vote in favor of spending money where it would make the most impact.
Infrastructure impact or jobs impact?
Infrastructure impact. I'm sorry.
Because?
Because the idea of spending money to create jobs, to me, doesn't make sense economically. A job gets created when something actually needs to get done, and there is economic incentive to do it. Otherwise, it really is the kind of, excuse my French, pissing money away that the Republicans criticize. On the other hand, if we spend money to build things that really matter, well, that's investment. And investment can be done wisely, whether it's in the public sector or in the private sector.
Ed, thank you. Michael Lind, how much do you agree with Ed? Michael, are you there? Did we lose Michael Lind? All right. Petra, how much do you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with the last caller, and that's why we need to fully fund the MTA's five-year capital program to invest in projects like the Second Avenue Subway, the ARC tunnels under the Hudson River, the East Side Access Project, which brings Long Island Railroad into Grand Central Terminal. These are the big capacity-building projects for our region that will allow this region to grow beyond this recession, but for the long term, and really allow us to continue to serve the 8 million people who rely on the MTA every day to get to their jobs.
What's your take on Jay Walter, the new head of the MTA? If I read his words accurately, he seemed to say upon taking office that he was not as interested in these big ticket items like bringing the LIRR into Grand Central and things like that as he was in shoring up the basic service that we have now. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, there's some concern that he's not fully behind the five-year capital plan and that they're looking at funding just the first 2 years of the capital plan, which is a problem because these are big projects. They require commitments. If you're going to order new rail cars, you need to place those orders. So that's why a five-year program is important. I understand what he's trying to do, show short-term security results. He's focusing on the efficiency of the transportation network, the ability of better information to riders to make the experience more pleasant, and all those measures are needed. But we got to keep focus on the importance of the capital plan.
So I'm just curious for yourself, with more revenue shortfall now reported by the MTA, would you rather see that long-term capital plan go more slowly, or would you rather see service cuts which are being threatened?
That's like Sophie's choice.
I know, but unfortunately, that's sometimes the real world.
I don't know if I can come down one way or another. I think it's important for us to continue to look within this region for revenue options. We can't just rely on the federal government to bail us out. We just went through a process with the state legislature in which we obtained what we thought was a $2 billion package to fund the MTA from the payroll tax and taxi cab surcharges and driver license fees, but we didn't implement the East River Bridge tolls, and I think that remains an option that we need to look at. We're going to need to come back to that. This region needs to self-sustain its transportation network, and we need to recognize that it is essential to our regional economy, and thus we cannot neglect it.
Petra Todorovich from the Regional Plan Association and Director of America 2050, and Michael Lind, Policy Director for the Economic Growth Program at the New America Foundation. Michael, you released a report just the other day on the importance of infrastructure nationwide. Are things falling apart and we're neglecting them?
Yes. According to the American Society of Civil Engineers, we would have to spend $400 to $500 billion a year just on deferred maintenance in addition to new infrastructure. And most of the public conversation is about mass transit and local congestion and so on, which affects people's lives the most, and it's important. But we also need to pay attention to something that's very dull but extremely significant. That's freight transportation, both by various modes, rail, highways, trucking, inland waterways, which are extremely important, and air cargo as well. So we need to have a massive investment in the freight as well as the passenger transportation system of this country. And that's not even getting into the energy system and the transportation grid. The good news is this is a multi-generational project, which will have enormous returns, you know, for every dollar invested in it. And it's something that can help drive the economy as we dig our way out of this depression or near depression.
A lot of people calling in to answer the poll question from InfrastructureUSA.org. Should infrastructure projects that generate a greater number of jobs be favored for funding, or those that produce the greatest long-term impact on infrastructure itself, which may not be the most number of jobs at the same time? And Marianne in Uniondale, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Brian. I just want to say, because I know you hear this all the time, but I love your show.
Thank you.
The other thing I wanted to say is this. In New York, the infrastructure, most definitely the money needs to be put there instead of jobs, because if we were to do unsealed bids, because right now in New York we do sealed bids. If we do an unsealed bid, we will, one, stretch the money that we have, because it will be laid out on the table. There will be no more hidden secrets on who's putting a bid in for what, which would create more competition, giving us better, more work for our dollar.
So more, more transparency, more open bids.
Yes, definitely. We have sealed bids in New York right now, and it's not doing well because we actually pay four and five times more than any other transportation system.
Great point. Thank you. Ray in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Brian. So, yeah, talking about transparency, there is what Obama said in his speech about, you know, giving the money to the private sector and that creating more jobs. That is completely the wrong way to look at it, because what needs to change is the whole system. And this may not seem like something that's connected immediately, but the system of manufacturing and who is creating the technology that creates our infrastructure needs to be taken away from these corporate entities that profit off of secrecy and owning something and planned obsolescence. If it was more, if money was going to the independent small business owner or even hobbyist or small inventor to work on things like the RepRap or the MakerBot, if you haven't heard of these things, you can find them online. But it is puts manufacturing in a very public, open source domain where there's no secrecy and where the technology evolves naturally because everyone is allowed to contribute it.
So one possible solution to the concern that Marianne raised in the last call, we'll get one more person in here. Aaron, in Nassau County, we've got about 30 seconds for you.
Oh, I just have a question. In the first stimulus package, there wasn't money for plants and engineering. And so the public had these long wish lists of what they thought were shovel-ready projects, but municipalities didn't have plans and specifications for them. So in this job bill, is there going to be money for plans and engineering design reports?
Michael Lynn, 15 seconds.
I don't know the answer, but that's a good question.
There should be.
Yes.
We need a national infrastructure plan.
Everybody agrees that there should be. Aaron, thank you. And a caller we're not going to have time for, but with a great question, not just the number of jobs, but who gets them. Primarily white men get infrastructure jobs. We need jobs for women and people of color as well. Petra, valid concern.
Absolutely agree.
And how do
I
you,
agree as well.
How do you balance that? We have 30 seconds. Take it. Michael?
Well, that means changing the nature of the contracting system and of the profession. So I think it should be done through that side, not through the spending side.
But it means that currently infrastructure projects per se would provide primarily jobs for white men. Maybe some of the stimulus money should be targeted elsewhere, Petra.
That could be. And I believe that we have state regulations that promote minority women business owners. So perhaps those could be strengthened through the federal law.
Petra Todorovich, Director of America 2050, and with the Regional Plan Association, Michael Lynn, Policy Director for the Economic Growth Program at the New America Foundation. Thank you both very much for digging deep on the infrastructure proposals in President Obama's speech yesterday.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.